Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
The hope that comes. Well, we just celebrated Christmas and the gift of Jesus, His salvation, and we hope that you receive that gift this Christmas. But as Jackie pointed out, throughout the Old Testament, Jesus couldn't keep, or God couldn't keep a secret, right? He kept hinting at it. How many of you are hinters when it comes to gifts? Like Jackie, you're a hinter when it comes to gifts. You like to spill the beans. Okay, there's some good secret keepers here. Y'all are good secret keepers, but hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, God had been revealing those hints through the prophets about the promise that he was going to fulfill by bringing his son Jesus. So today, as we finish up our Christmas series, we're going to talk about the wonder of hope. How many know hope is important, isn't it? The wonder of hope. And this is perfect, don't you think, as we begin to turn the page this week to a new year. Can you believe we're heading in to 2026? 2026. Can you believe it? I can't. What are you hoping for in 2026? What are you looking forward to? What do you hope will finally happen this year? Maybe it's marriage. You're hoping that maybe this year you'll meet the right person, or this year you will finally get proposed to, right? Marriage. Some of you are looking forward, hoping that that'll happen. How many are looking forward to a promotion, right? You're hoping finally you'll get recognized at work or get that promotion. Maybe it's a new job, or maybe it's healing for you or someone you love. To really understand hope, I think we have to distinguish hope from what the Bible talks about. When the Bible talks about hope, from what we as Americans experience, what we think of when we think of hope in Scripture. In America, hope's a few things. Hope in America is like wishful thinking. You know about wishful thinking, like I hope here in Northeast Ohio that it's going to be sunny outside. Certainly wasn't today, right? I hope it's going to be sunny outside, or I hope I'll get that promotion or that raise in 2026, or boy, I certainly hope the Browns will beat the Steelers. Wishful thinking. Or positivity, like optimism, right? The best is yet to come. 2026, the best is yet to come. Or we think of in terms of statistics or probability, such as, you know what, I'm hopeful. I mean, that 60% of the people, they say, respond to that cancer drug, and I'm hopeful that I'm going to be one of the 60%. That's the way we think about hope when we think about it in the American way. But biblical hope is different. That's not bad. But it's based in fantasy, not reality, like the Browns beating the Steelers today. Only a few of you are getting that. That's okay. But that's not the way hope is used in Scripture. John Mark Comer defines scriptural hope as scriptural hope is the expectation of a coming good based on the person and promises of God. Hope is based on the person and the promises of God. It's the kind of emotional energy that does look forward to the future, but it has the kind of fuel that we need right here in the present. And there are some of you today in the present that you need some fuel today in order to make it one more day. You need fuel today in order to make it one more year. That's what hope in Jesus is all about. Eugene Peterson, the author of the Message Bible paraphrase, he wrote this about hope. He said, hope is not about the future. Hope is about the present. It obviously has to do with the future, but it's a virtue which is cultivated in the present. It fills the present with energy. It connects the two comings of Jesus so that we are now participating in them. Notice that, the two comings of Jesus, that we're participating in them. We're not just remembering the one and believing in the other. We are participating in them both, the continuity of the comings. How many know Jesus came? He fulfilled the promise that God said he would fulfill. But how many know that Scripture says he's coming again? We talked about it today. That's the hope that we have that fuels us not only for the future, but fuels us for today. All humans are hope-based creatures. I don't know if you realize that or not. Animals really aren't hope-based creatures, but humans are. survival's not enough for us. We need hope. Martin Luther says this once, everything that is done in the world is done by hope. The question is not, do you hope? The question is this, what do you put your hope in? What do you put your hope in? That's the question that I'm asking you today. What do you put your hope in? What do you base your hope in? You see, in Luke chapter 2, we're going to take a look at two people. They're kind of like in the credits. They're kind of like the people that show up in the credits at the end of a movie. You know, they're kind of the after. They're a part of the Christmas story and everything, but they really show up kind of in the after of Christmas, the Christmas credits, so to speak. And in Luke chapter 2, 21 through 25, it provides the context for their story. This is what it says. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. And when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So what's happening here in Jewish culture is that you would not name the baby right away. When the baby is born in the hospital today, many times what is the baby's name? They write it on the birth certificate. It may take a few hours, but it happens almost immediately while they're still in the hospital. In Jewish culture, you would wait to give the name to the baby until 8 days later. Can you imagine that for 8 days, Jesus, the Son of God, was nameless? Think about that for a moment. He was nameless. The name literally that was given him before he was even born, before he was even conceived by the angel, was Jesus, which means he saves. Literally, the Lord saves. In other words, in his name was also his identity. In his name was also his purpose and what he came to do. It was his true identity, the reason that he was born. And the people contextually did not understand what that meant. What does it mean by a savior? What do they mean? What did he come to save us from? And when it came to the Jewish people in the nation of Israel, they had been living in some very dark days. I don't know if you realize that or not. They were living in dark days politically. They were living in although they had come out of exile many, many years before, they were still not their own nation. They did not have their own king. They were being taxed by others. It was a dark time, and for 400 years, there had been absolutely no prophecy given. It was spiritually dark. It was politically dark times. It was economically dark times, and they were looking for a savior, one who would come, but they were looking for a savior that would come and be king, as they thought about, in the line of David, somebody that would turn around their lives economically, somebody that would come in and save them politically. I've got to tell you something, friends. It's not much different here in the United States. We're always looking for someone to save us politically or to change our lives economically, when what we really need is a savior who will change us spiritually. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You can look to Washington all day long for your hope, for someone to come in and to be a savior. We do it all the time. But you're not going to find your savior in D.C. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. I know. Pastor, where am I going to find my hope from? If it's not when I cast my ballot. Because what our world needs, it doesn't need someone to come in and change something, to enact new laws. For years and years and years, people tried that, and that hasn't worked. What we really need, and what Jesus knew we really needed, was a Savior who would save us spiritually from the problem of our sins. And that's what Jesus came to do. See, they had been waiting on a Savior. There was dark days. They had been hoping for a Savior. And as Mary and Joseph entered into that temple that day, there were two people that had been hanging on to this word hope. Two people that had been waiting for hope. Two people. Luke 2, 25 to 38. shares something amazing. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. We're going to talk about what that means in a moment. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What does that mean? We'll look at that in a minute. And the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom, the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God. And look what he said. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light and revelation for the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Friends, Simeon is a picture of somebody that was waiting with hope. Somebody that had been waiting. Think about when you're waiting at the airport for your loved one to arrive back from a long trip, and you're waiting there to be able to see them so that you can, whether you're meeting them at baggage claim or when they come out, there you are, you're waiting. And every person that rounds the bend and every new group of travelers that come, you think, is that them? Is that their plane? Are they coming around the bend? This was Simeon. Simeon here, spending his years right there in the temple, looking and waiting. God had promised that he would see the Messiah. He'd see the one that was coming. Is it him? Is it him? Is it this one? Is it that one? Have they come yet? This is the kind of waiting that he was doing. And he was waiting for what? The Lord's Messiah, the consolation. What is consolation? Well, it comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. Comfort my people, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her, for her warfare is ended and her iniquity is pardoned. He was concerned about his nation. He was concerned about his people. How many of you are concerned about our nation? Anybody concerned about our nation? Not enough of you. Whoo, man. There are dark days spiritually. He was concerned. He was concerned. He was concerned about his people. He was concerned about his nation. He had a concern that was driving him. 80 plus years of his life, he had watched and experienced the oppression. He had experienced the war-torn people. He had experienced people who had been walked all over, people who had been overly taxed, people who had been experiencing hardship. And his heart went out, and he was looking for consolation. He was looking for hope. He was looking for the comfort that had been provided. He was looking for the pardon that had been provided, the hope that had been provided for his people, a Messiah who would come and bring them victory and freedom. And now, finally, when Jesus shows up, he had received that consolation that he had been waiting on. Well, later in Luke chapter 2, there's a second person who was also waiting and longing and looking forward with hopeful anticipation. Luke 2, 36 to 38, there was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. Can you imagine getting married? You've been married 7 years, things are going well, and all of a sudden your husband dies, and the rest of her life, she was a widow. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. And coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So Simeon is looking forward to the consolation. Anna is looking forward to the redemption. What is the redemption? Well, Isaiah 52:9 and a prophecy before Jesus came break forth together into singing, "You waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has consoled his people and he has redeemed Jerusalem." You see, early in Anna's life, the future was hopeful. Early in her life, everything was looking good. She had found the one that she was going to love, her husband that she would do life with, and they would walk together. But somehow, 7 years into their marriage, something happened to him, and he passed away. And all of the hopes, everything that she had, was suddenly dashed and replaced with grief. For a woman in that culture who was not able to go out and get a job as we are today to be able to support herself, it doesn't show that she had any children. Financially speaking, the husband would have been the one to provide for her. So now she is left without anybody to be her covering or to provide for her. She is grieving. She is a widow, and usually they struggled. She knew grief. She knew it early on. She knew what it was like to have her future dashed and by loss. She understood loneliness. She understood struggle. But yet she continued to hope. What was she hoping for? The redemption of Jerusalem and her own redemption of the tragedy of life. What's the difference between consolation and redemption? Consolation probably speaks to the longings for healing, the restoration of past losses, of miseries in life. In Isaiah, the people had experienced judgment because they had turned their back on God. They experienced exile. They experienced guilt, fear, loneliness, death. See, consolation is when we are believing that God is going to come and He's going to heal, that God's going to come and He's going to restore, that God's going to come and He's going to revive everything that has been thrown away, everything that has been lost. Redemption speaks to our need to be delivered, though, from the powers that still hold us in bondage. That's what redemption is. The powers that hold us from bondage. The redemption is a work of salvation from the enemies that still threaten us. So what are these people that have centered themselves in God for years? What are they putting their hope in? What are they waiting on? Well, in their lives, their lessons. Lessons about how we can wait with hope, because they were waiting in hope, not only on a promise, but of a person. Jesus, a Savior. Jesus, a Savior. So here's some important keys to waiting with hope. One, you've got to hold on to the promises of God. You've got to hold on to the promises of God and not let go. Again, Luke 2:26, it had been revealed to him, Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That was a promise that he had received from God, and that was a promise that he had held on to year after year, day after day. Even when it didn't seem like it was ever going to be there, Simeon held on to that promise. He held on in hope to that promise. And he actively waited and served the Lord while he held on to the hope and the promise of God. Both Simeon and Anna knew the Old Testament prophecies about the coming hope. They knew about those prophecies, and for years they continued to hang on that God's word would be true. Luke 2:25 describes Simeon this way. It says, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, and he was righteous and devout. The word devout means someone who holds on to something good. If you're devout, you're hanging on to something which is good, even when you're tempted to lose grip. And for 80 years plus of his life, he held on to the promises of God. He didn't give up, but he kept believing that God would fulfill what he had promised. And I think that's what makes this narrative so wonderful, isn't it? When you see somebody that waited, when you see somebody that held on to the promises, when you see somebody that was waiting, and here Jesus is, the fulfillment of that promise. And this is what Luke 2:28 says. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Here's what the language of scripture that we don't see. When it says he took him in his arms, it literally says that he cradled him in his arms. The Greek word here is the inner curve of the arm. He cradles this baby in his arms. It's a tender hold, if you wish. Literally holding the Son of God. Can you imagine what it must have been like to hold the Son of God? That for years and years and years of waiting and waiting and waiting, and now finally you get to hold the very promise in your arms, the Ancient of Days, the Rock of Ages. He's holding on to the hope of nations, the hope of every generation. He's literally holding on to that. What a moment that must have been, right? What a moment. What a moment. I think sometimes we miss what a moment that must have been. Despite 80 years of delay, Simeon did not give up. And consider Anna. Despite her loss, despite her loneliness, despite the tragedy that she experienced in her life, she continued to hold on to the promises that were in God's word. Here's what 2 Corinthians 1:20, this is what Paul wrote. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us by the glory of God. 2 Peter 3:9 reminds us this, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Simeon and Anna were waiting on promises, and maybe you're waiting on a promise to be fulfilled. Maybe there are things you've been praying into. You know what God's word says. Maybe it's a loved one who has walked away from the Lord or doesn't know Jesus, and you're praying for their salvation. Let me tell you something. Don't give up, because God answers prayer. God answers prayer. Don't give up. Maybe you've been praying for somebody to be healed. Maybe you've been praying for God to do a breakthrough in your finances. Guess what? Don't give up. Don't give up. Stay faithful to hang on to the promises that God brings. You will see the fulfillment if you will hang on and not give up. Second, though, we've got to remain sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Waiting with hope is not something where we just sit by and do nothing, but rather we stay sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Here's what Luke 2:27 says about Simeon. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, which tells me that Simeon wasn't originally in the temple courts. Here's Mary and Joseph. They're coming to do just what you do. You go into the temple, you offer a sacrifice, you go through the process there, they name the baby, and it's part of the purification rites. They bring two turtle doves because they're poor, and they're just coming in. Simeon is not in the temple courts, but he remains sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and moved by the Holy Spirit, it moved him to the place where he needed to be so that he could receive what God had promised. Sometimes we may not receive what God has promised, not because God isn't ready to fulfill it, but because we are not remaining sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We're not moving where the Holy Spirit tells us to move. Oh, I don't know if you're getting that or not. He was guided by a spiritual alertness. Are you sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Are you sensitive to his promptings? You know, I'm a planner. I'm already planning ahead, 2026, man. I'm telling you, God has got big vision coming up in 2026. There are big things going to be happening in this church in 2026. I'm just telling you right now. Now, I'm a planner. But I got to be honest with you, even with the best laid plans, sometimes God will move in and he'll just change it just a bit. Or I'll be praying into something and I got to stay sensitive because the Holy Spirit will lead and he'll say, nope. You thought that, but I've got something over here. Just be patient. Just wait. You got to be sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and be ready to move when he moves. Hope must be joined with keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. Your hope has to be joined in keeping in step with the Spirit. As we approach 2026, let me encourage you. You may have some plans, but you got to remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You got to say, God, let me tune into you so that I don't miss what you have promised for me in this coming year. I know you've got something good promised, but let me be sensitive to your promptings. Let me be sensitive to your promptings. Did you think Simeon ever was tempted to give up? Maybe he was. Maybe at 40. Maybe at 50 and it still hadn't happened yet. Maybe at 60 or 70. But he continued to wait and he continued to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Friends, if you are frustrated or feeling like, God, what are you doing? I have a dream. I seem like I'm in a holding pattern. I don't understand. Here's my suggestion for you. Stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Stay sensitive to his promptings because he will move you when you least expect it. He'll move you to where you can receive his promises. Here's a couple of great qualities that will allow you to remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Number one, cultivate the character of God. Luke 2:25, Simeon was not only called devout, but he was called righteous. Righteous is just, conformity to God's character. Allow God to form and conform your character to him. Because sometimes the waiting is about God conforming your character so that you're ready to be in the position to be able to receive his promise. We're not oftentimes ready to receive his promise because our hearts aren't positioned or ready. And character can only sustain character must be there to be able to sustain what God wants to do in your life. Otherwise, disaster will happen. We got to wait and persevere through the difficult circumstances. James 1:3 tells us this, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Secondly, stay sensitive through fasting and prayer. When we were reading about Anna was one who stayed sensitive to the Holy Spirit through fasting and prayer. I want to encourage you. We're going to open up this year, this new year, with a week of fasting and prayer. I want to encourage you to join us for that. Join us for that. Next Sunday, we're going to kick off a whole new sermon series. We're going to be looking at the power of the altar and the importance of having prayer altars in our life. I want to tell you, prayer altars alter things. Everybody's asleep on me already. We're just going to pray and go home. There you go. You need to learn how to build prayer altars because they alter things in your life. Prayer altars. But we're going to kick off a week of prayer and fasting. Why? Because I want you to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life in this coming year. And we do that through prayer and fasting. And so we're going to have the church open both from noon to 1, Monday through Friday, and also from 7 to 8. We invite you to come. You don't have to stay the whole time. You can come for a little bit, but come and pray. I'll have prayer guides for you next week as well. But Anna came up at that very moment. Why? Why did she come up to that very moment? Why was she able to perceive the promise that was right in front of her when the temple was filled with so many people that couldn't see that the Messiah they had been praying for and that had been prophesied about was right there? The temple was full, people walking back and forth, but there were only two people who were sensitive enough to pick it up. Why? Because they remained sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you to tune your heart and remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit where He is directing you in 2026. Finally, worship team, will you come? I want you to encourage you to share the hope that you have with others. Luke 2:38 says, coming up on them at that very moment, this is Anna. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She told all who were looking forward. Let me tell you something. She had the knowledge of God's hope, and when she recognized what it was, she told everybody. Friends, if you have received Christ's love in your heart, there are people that need to know the hope that you have. I want to encourage you to share the hope that you have received with others. Share the hope not only of the first advent that Jesus came, but share again, friends, the hope that we have that Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. And we've got to share that hope that although our world seems dark, we've got a Savior that is coming. He is Christ the Lord. He is coming again. By declaring and proclaiming her own hope, she refreshed the hope in others. So today, as we close, let me ask you a question. What are you hoping for? As we approach a new year, what are you hoping for? What are you hoping 2026 will bring? What promises that are in God's word are you hanging on to? I want to encourage you, hang on and don't give up. I want to encourage you, don't miss the moment, but stay sensitive through prayer and fasting. Tune your heart and share the hope you have with others. But what are you hoping for? Maybe like Anna, you've experienced grief in your life. You've experienced trouble in your life. You've experienced loneliness in your life. And you're just struggling with hope. Maybe like Simeon, it's been years of waiting as you just watched maybe something happen in your family and you're saying, when is something going to change in my family? Maybe it's something in your life, something in your finances. Maybe it's just something you've been praying into and you say, where is the hope today? Friends, I want to encourage you. Do you need to renew your hope in Jesus as we begin to leave? We get ready to leave 2025 and head into a new year, 2026. If you are in need of hope today, whatever it is, I want to pray for you today. There's something you're hoping for, something you're believing for, something you're waiting on God for. Will you slip up your hand today? I want to believe with you that God will help to bring that to pass in His time this year. Yeah, if that's you, slip up your hand. I want to pray. Right now, if you're in need of hope as you look forward to a new year, Jesus, you see all these hands raised today. God, we're looking to you. You're the one we're waiting on. You're the one we're looking to. Father, you're the one who provides us with the hope that we need for our lives. So right now, Jesus, I just pray that you would begin to move in every life, every person. God, you know what they're waiting on. You know what they need. Some need a healing in their life. Some need a healing in their family. Some need a breakthrough in their job. Some have been waiting, Lord, for someone that they love, Lord, to get off drugs and to be set free. Lord, for someone that they love who's bound in depression to experience joy. Father, someone, Lord, they've been praying for salvation, to receive salvation. Father, there is somebody in here today, Lord, that has been down and experiencing depression in their own life. And Lord, they need you to lift them out of that with joy. They're waiting on the joy that you provide, the peace that you provide. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would move. You would move in every heart. You would move in every life. I pray that you would be the lifter of heads. I pray right now a lifting of that depression right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I speak hope over you right now. I don't know who you are, but I speak hope over you right now. I speak hope over you right now. You have been thinking about plans to end your life. Do not do it. Do not do it. Jesus says, I hear you. I see you. Do not do it. Tell somebody, I've come to bring and give you hope. I have a future for you. Don't end it. Don't end it. I have a future for you. I have a future for you. Lord, lift that depression right now in Jesus' name. Set that person free right now. Set that person free right now. Lord, you know who that is. I just sense that right now. This is the moment. Don't miss the moment of the hope you've been believing for. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't leave today. Don't leave today without receiving prayer. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You see, you're the God who sees us. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Paintsville Assembly of God, visit paintsvilleag.com.